We had this afternoon repeated many times where it says that the Lord was perfect in every way. I just want to read some scriptures where, at the cross, where those who oppose the Lord forced to say, to admit, the Lord was perfect, that he was righteous. There's six spoken and one not spoken. First, in Matthew 27, and I'll just read them in the order that we get in Scripture. We'll not try and put them chronologically. And the first one is a surprise in some ways. Matthew 27, I'll read from verse 3. Then Judas, who had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I've sinned in that I've betrayed innocent blood. Judas was forced to admit here that he knew the Lord was innocent. And after all, he more than anyone else at this point could know that. He spent all that time with the Lord. So he could say it more than anybody else that we're going to read of. So in another sense, he was much more guilty. And obviously we read elsewhere where when, say, Judas went to betray the Lord, he left that upper room. He left before the Passover supper was had. He didn't stay for that even. We read that Satan entered into him. Here, Satan's abandoned him. And we don't have to read much further to see what happens to Judas. Satan used him and had no time for him. But here Judas is the first person who has to admit that the Lord was innocent. And then in verse 19, this is Pilate. When he sat down in the judgment seat, his wife sent to him saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. We don't even read whether Pilate's wife ever personally met the Lord. But she can give her husband this testimony that was given to her. Have nothing to do with that just man. And she says, I've suffered many things. What that was, we don't know. But I've suffered many things in a dream because of him. So no doubt, she'd had a sleepless night. And she tells her husband that not only had she had a sleepless night, but why? Have nothing to do with that just man. Sadly, Pilate ignored her. He doesn't take any notice of what she says. And then in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 23, verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Pilate examined him, and no doubt when he heard the accusations of the Jewish leaders, he probably thought, here we go again, all this rubbish from these people. They do nothing but cause trouble. He probably didn't understand half the things that they were on about. But here he can say plainly to them, I find no fault in this man. And as the man in charge, as the governor, that should have been the end of it. But it's not. And then we read further on, it's when verse 6, when Pilate heard it was of Galilee and that he was from there and knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was in Jerusalem at that time. So here, Pilate, in a sense, Duck's making a decision and says, oh, well, he's from Galilee. Herod can make the decision. I'll get out with it this way. So it's not my problem. But what happens? We read in verse 12. The same day, Pilate and Herod were made friends together when before they'd been at enmity one another. So they were united in that both had no time for the Lord. Then it says, Pilate then in verse 13, when he had called together the chief priests and rulers and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I have examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things wherever you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. Herod also had found no fault in the Lord. From what we read, Herod, the only thing Herod wanted to see was some miracle or something. And when that didn't happen, he wasn't interested. Herod was only out for himself. And here, Herod sends him back to Pilate and said, well, I've got nothing against him, so I've nothing to say. You're in charge of Jerusalem. You make the decision. So Pilate had found no fault in the Lord. Herod finds no fault in the Lord. But the people still say, away with him. Crucify him. That was the people's choice. And this is the only time in Scripture that we read of democracy where Pilate bowed to the will of the people. Shows you the flaw of democracy. Pilate didn't act as he should have. He let the people make the decision. And then down to verse 40. So there's the two men crucified with the Lord, with the Lord in the middle. One of them in verse 39 says, if you be Christ, save yourself and us. This is one thing the Lord could not do. He could not save himself and us. It was an impossibility. It was the one thing the Lord could not do. He could not do what this man said. It was an impossibility. But the Lord doesn't even say anything. But the other thief says, do we not fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation? But we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. He acknowledges he's getting the punishment he deserved for whatever he'd done. But then he says, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he had got nothing to gain from it. He was going to die a horrible death within hours. And in fact, it would be even quicker because they broke his leg. So then death would be quite quick. But he could testify there to all those around the cross, the Lord had done nothing wrong. Whether he'd ever met the Lord up to that point, we don't know. We don't know anything about them. But his testimony of what he observed at that point when the Lord was crucified, no doubt the way the Lord reacted to how people treated him was different from the other thieves, from different to normal. And he can say, this man has done nothing wrong. And then I'll read from verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, certainly, this was a righteous man. So the centurion, who there was no doubt probably the one in charge of what was going on, even he is forced to admit that this prisoner wasn't like the normal one. And he can say, certainly, this was a righteous man. So I have these six characters who, all of them, have to admit, have to make it clear in Scripture that the Lord was perfect, that he was righteous, that he'd done nothing wrong. But there's also one that is silent, because six is not a perfect number. We need seven. The seventh one is in verse 26 of this chapter. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And I gather, when the person was going to be crucified, they carried the top piece. And they went to the place of crucifixion. And anybody coming in who was a stranger, seeing someone carrying that piece of a cross, knew that person must be guilty of something because they're going to be executed. So clearly they'd done something wrong. What do we read here? Simon carried the cross. It says he was compelled. Now just imagine it. Simon's come up from Cyrene for the Passover. Something's happening, he gets to have a look. Suddenly this centurion comes up, sticks out a sword and says, you come here. It wasn't a case of choice. It was He was compelled. Third point, you're carrying it. The Roman soldier probably thought the Lord wasn't strong enough to carry it after the way he'd been treated by the soldiers beforehand. And that might be man's way of looking at it, but actually, that's not how God looked at it. Because God saw that when Simon carried that cross, the Lord carried nothing. He had no reason to carry the cross. He had done nothing wrong. But Simon carried it, but at the place of crucifixion, Simon had a substitute. The judgment that should have been Simon's for sin, the Lord took, just as he took yours and mine. But here, literally, Simon was the one who carried that cross piece. The Lord carried nothing, signifying again to all the people, the Lord was perfect in every way. He had done no sin, as we said. In him was no sin. He had done no sin. Here, this was made manifest. The Lord carried nothing. Simon was that substitute, as it were, in carrying that piece. But it wasn't for him to bear. The Lord took that judgment on the cross. So when we think of here, the seven times where it's made perfectly clear to all who observed, the Lord was perfect in every way. The scriptures make it clear for us. So when we think of, as we've thought of, the Lord went into death, that the death of the cross, he bore that judgment as rightfully ours. What is our response to what the Lord has done for us? When we think of all that he went through, the scriptures say very little. We know a little about how he was treated by the Roman soldiers. When they got Simon to carry the cross, no doubt they thought he was weak, because apparently they treated the prisoners so badly, a lot died before they got to be crucified. They were that badly treated. But the Lord went into death, that the death of the cross. And in that, he glorified the Father. And he brought us into a place of needs, a place of blessing. Because he bore that judgment as rightfully ours. So what is our response when we think of how much the Lord has loved us? Amen.